Good to stand before you this morning, hoping that the material that I've selected to preach on this morning will be as helpful to you as it has been to me through the years. Death means different things to different people, because without the scriptures, we don't have any real means to even understand what death is. If you were to ask a group of people, what does death mean? Most people would simply say it means to cease to exist. It means to leave this world, to die, and to end with the completion of life. I wanted to start this morning by thinking just for a minute about how God sees death. And in the course of this lesson, I'd like to help us understand that God would like to see us to see death the same way he does. And that when we see death the way God sees death, then by faith, we can manifest to him our love, our trust, and our confidence that something we can't see and we can't verify, something like Jesus Christ being the Son of God, we can look at the prophecies. We can look at the eyewitness testimony of what they saw, and we can build a pretty good understanding in our minds of what exactly happened when Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Death is different because we have no means to verify. We can only listen to what God says occurs and then look at the examples that God gives to us, all the while understanding that we can't verify these things. That these things are things that God reveals to us, but which we have no means of verifying. And so when God says, precious is the death of his saints, he's telling us that that moment of death, that moment when the body and spirit separate from one another, is a very precious moment to him. Now, for most of us, that would be a pretty difficult thing to say. Well, it is for me too. Death is a very precious thing, because for us, it means something very different than it does for God. Because when a saint dies, we lose the saint, but God receives them. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So while death to us means losing something, death to God means gaining something. God is getting something that he doesn't have, and that is a redeemed soul to spend eternity praising and glorifying him. And we're told here that God wants us to understand this. He wants us to understand. That's the idea. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, lit up by the scriptures, by our trust in the scriptures. When the scriptures reveal that God sees death as precious, and I find that in my own heart, I can't quite see it that way, then I have to start looking, and God says, here's where I want you to start. I want you to start with the understanding that when man sinned and death entered the world, I lost a lot. God lost a lot. All of the souls who are not saints, all of the souls that he has created and he has loved and hoped to redeem, but they're lost to him. But the saints are his inheritance. And we've talked about this in the past. When the earth burns up, everything God did in Genesis chapter 1 is lost to him. When he sees the sinners standing before him and he casts them into everlasting punishment, he loses all of the souls of those people that he has created and given. What does that leave him? Nothing in the material creation. And nothing in the spiritual creation except the saints. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. When you think about it, everything God did from Genesis 1, from the scheme of redemption, was all focused on this one thing, to get as many people as possible into heaven with him, to gain as many new souls as possible. So how else could God see it when a saint died as being a very precious moment, something very special to him? And so why does God see death as precious? Because if you look at verse 7, the dust will return to the earth, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So that spirit that God placed within our body at birth or at conception, that spirit is going to return to him, and it's going to return to him precious because it's his inheritance. There's a passage in Malachi that I think sums this up. It says, those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Now, other translations have jewels here. When the Lord will gather his jewels. The idea, the basic idea here is that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because they are the exceeding riches of his inheritance, because they are his treasured possession when they return to God, because they return to God redeemed. The saints return to God redeemed. And the Lord is going to have them for all eternity. And so when the death of a saint occurs, what we need to understand is that there's rejoicing in heaven that God is receiving something very precious. And maybe next week when we get to this, Jesus will tell us in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus that angels are dispatched to gather that jewel, to gather that special possession, to gather that precious inheritance that God is going to receive. Now, that's a little different perspective of death than I had before I became a Christian. And that's a little bit different perspective of death than I had for the first maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And what might be interesting is to ask yourself right now whether that's how we see it. And so the perspective here is one that's very interesting. And it's only our faith that is going to allow us to stop seeing things as the world does and begin to see them as God does. And so that's really the purpose of this lesson, is to look at various scriptures and see where we need to work. Because when God revealed it, the first time, it helps us to see it in a proper perspective. Enoch lived 65 years. Now, remember, a book of remembrance was written of them. They will be mine. They are my treasured possession. They are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. After Enoch begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God for 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Now, it's interesting because in this chapter, everybody else is 900. I think Methuselah was 969. Various people had different ages. Enoch was only here for 365 years, and God took him. Now, look at verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, why did God take him? He took him because he was precious. He took him because he was his treasured possession. He took him because he wanted him to be with him. Now, the Hebrew writer takes it a little bit further when he says, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him before he had taken him, he had this testimony. He pleased God. He pleased God. God took him. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saint. Guys, you're going to need to have her stay seated, okay? Can't have her running around like that. Have her seated, okay? Thank you. And so the question we have to ask ourselves, do we have the faith to see death the way God sees death? We do not look at the things which are seen. As long as we're looking at the things which are seen, we can't see death as a precious thing. We can't see death as God getting his precious possessions. We can't see death as God taking them because they were pleasing to him. We do not look at the things which are seen. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Now it's fascinating, but death is eternal. Death is not temporary. Death is, and by that, let me explain, I'm not looking at death as something from this perspective, from this life anymore. That's the temporary. What we see is temporary. What God sees is eternal. God sees this soul being brought to him, and then of course we see that the next step will be the second coming of Christ, where the resurrection will occur. The next step will be the creation of the new heavens and the new earth, and the next final step will be for God to have these people with him throughout all eternity. Now that's the eternal side of death, and that's the side of death God wants us to look at. He doesn't want us looking at the temporary side of death, which is the loss of a loved one, the loss of some individual. That's our side, but God sees it from a different perspective, and that's where we have to understand, because that's where the comfort to the dying will occur. So what's the comfort of the dying? Well, look at this verse. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because he's built a city for them and he intends to enjoy their fellowship, to enjoy their company throughout all eternity. And Abraham understood that. He lived to die. He dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. He did not allow this world to be his home. We sing the song sometimes, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Here's Abraham. Abraham, who all he really had, there were no written books at the time, but he had Enoch. He had Enoch to look at. He knew that if he walked with God, God would take him. And by faith he dwelt in the land of promises in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. He was waiting for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now death is the door that we have to pass through to begin the steps necessary to receive that city. Now, here's not only Abraham, but these all. So we go back to Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Now, verse 13 is a basic summation of how you and I will look at death when we trust God like these people did. They died in faith because they knew precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, and they wanted to be a saint. So they were going to live as strangers and sojourners so they could die as saints. They died in faith, not having received the things promises, because none of the things promised occur until after death. They saw them, they greeted them, they acknowledged them. Verse 14, for people who speak like this, people who speak thus, make it clear they're seeking the homeland. They understand that God sees the saints as precious and he's going to do precious things with them. People who speak like this, like what? This world is not my home. Like Paul speaks in Philippians chapter 1. To me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. To depart and be with Christ is very far better. People who speak like that make it clear. They're seeking the homeland. And if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return, because that's what our understanding of death will cause us to do. If we see death as the end of everything, then we want to grab as much as we can and enjoy as much as we can. How did Paul put it? If the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's all there is. But people who speak like this, they understand that death is a portal. Death is when the spirit returns to God, it's precious, and God gathers his treasured possessions. Verse 16, as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Death brings us one step closer to the heavenly country. And if we have faith, if we trust God that this world is only our opportunity to declare ourselves saints, our opportunity to die as a saint so that our death is precious, to die as one of God's holy people. And it's fascinating to me that we're told in verse 16, God is not ashamed to be called the God of saints who want to die as saints. Saints who see death as the portal. Enoch proved it. Abraham believed it. And he lived as though he believed it. And at the burning bush, God said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus later proclaimed, that means they were still alive. God had gathered them, and they were alive, and their death was precious, and now they were with the Lord. They were with God. So, that's progression that leads to maturity. And we have to ask ourselves a question, where am I? Where am I on this journey from the non-believer who sees death as the end of everything and wants to do everything he possibly can before death because that's all he has? But the progression from that is to the Christian who sees death as gain, death as a blessing and as a benefit. And again, listen to Paul here. Paul is probably in his late 50s, maybe early 60s, which back then may have been a little older. I think they didn't have the same lifespan we do. And he was worn out. He'd been beaten. He'd been shipwrecked. He'd been stoned. We do not lose heart, he says, even though our outward man is perishing or decaying. But the inner man is renewed day by day. Now, that's what we've been talking about in the first six slides that we've just looked at. It's so important that we see this world like Paul does. My outer man is decaying. It is perishing. It is about to come to an end. But he said, my inner man is being renewed day by day, because by faith he is seeing what happened to Enoch. He is seeing how Abraham looked at it. He is seeing that God has promised a city, that they want a city whose builder and maker is God. And with that understanding, the inner man is renewed. Every day it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now there's that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. There is the, I'm going to gather my treasured possession, my jewels. And I'm going to glorify them. I'm going to give them glory. Verse 18, we do not look at the things which are seen. And so not only is it motivation for the dying, but Paul tells us it's also comfort for the living. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Now, he's using death as a sleep because he's describing death from those of us who are left here. Those people are just asleep, and they will be back. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Therefore, comfort one another. Now, this is for the living. The Holy Spirit has already revealed how the dying see death. But now the living have an opportunity to see death. So when our faith allows us to see the unseen portion of death, what we can't see, we see the body lying there dead. We don't see the angels coming, taking them as God's precious treasured possessions to a place where he will keep them until the resurrection, until the second coming. And so the knowledge is supposed to give us comfort. I don't want you to be ignorant, lest you sorrow as those who don't have hope. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So, by sight, this is what death looks like. Death is the end. Death is final. It's a dead end. There's nothing beyond. It's the end of all association. I'll never get to talk to the people I know anymore. It's the loss of everything. Everything I have to leave behind. It's a bitter curse. It's a departure and an end. It's an unfortunate loss, a defeat, a time to leave, where I lose my wealth, I terminate my life, and those who are left behind are bereaved. But by faith, every one of these is turned around. It's not the end, it's the beginning. It's not a final, it's a departure, because we're not returning to dust, we're returning to God. New associations will begin, and we will gain. That's what Paul said. To die is gain. To depart and be with Christ is very far better. It's a blessed rest. It's a departure that leads to an arrival. It's like when you take someone to the airport and you drop them off. You're not going to see them again until they come back, but that person is on a trip. They go through security, they get on the train, they get to their plane, the plane takes off, they're in the air, they land in another place. New associations, new relationships. It's a victory with a crown. It's not an unfortunate loss, it's precious in God's sight. It's not a defeat, it's a victory. It's not a time to leave home, it's a time to go home. It's not losing wealth, it's gaining the true riches. It is a termination of earthly life, but it's a joyful and happy reunion. So, how do you see death? I think before we became a Christian, we were all on the left. We were all looking at it and seeing. But over time, and I don't know where you are on the journey, but over time, we start to see death from a totally different perspective. Now, Jesus brings clarity to this by revealing things during his earthly ministry. For example, after Lazarus had died, Mary and Martha saw it as the end. Matter of fact, they said, "Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died." They saw his life as the critical thing. Jesus wants them to realize something. That's not really what's important here. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Now, that may sound like a paradox. That may sound like something that can't be true. But if you think about it, when Abraham died, it was precious to the Lord. And he placed him in a place in preparation for the country, the city, and the body that God had promised would come. And so death, as Jesus describes it, is you just keep on living. Like that airplane. You die, you see angels, angels take you to Abraham's bosom. Abraham says, Lazarus is being comforted here. There are people there, other people there. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Death is only a journey. It is simply a transferal from this world to the paradise of Hades. Jesus put it another way to the Jews, if anyone keeps my word, he won't see death. We will. We will see the death of those who leave us, but they don't see death. They just stop being here and start being somewhere else. Their spirit returns to God. And Jesus, I think, made it about as clear as he could. This event is very similar to the translation of Enoch. Here's what Jesus said. The thief on the cross next to him said, Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom. Now, I don't know what the thief was thinking. I think the thief was thinking something way down the road, this kingdom. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Well, what did he mean by that? They were dying. Jesus would be dead within 3 hours. The thieves would have their legs broken and they would be dead before sunset. So what does he mean? We'll be together in paradise. He didn't come down from the cross. So, how were these words fulfilled? Well, we've already seen it. The dust will return to the earth, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. And Jesus said, when that spirit of a saint returns to the God who gave it, it's paradise. And the word paradise is the same word that was used to describe the Garden of Eden. The word garden is this paradise, the paradise of Eden. Now we have the paradise of Hades, or the paradise of death. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's not just on God's side, it's also on the side of the saints. When God sees that precious soul of a saint die, he immediately brings them. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And Jesus is perhaps the best example of this because Jesus died, he went to paradise, but he didn't stay in paradise. He came back. He came back and verified his testimony here. Now, when Peter preaches on this in Acts chapter 2, he says, he foreseeing this spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades. It was in Hades. It was in paradise. This very day you will be with me in paradise. It was in Hades. But then Jesus got to come back, which proves conclusively death can't be the end, because there wouldn't be anything to come back if death was the end. But because here we have an individual, let's look at one more slide because I want to kind of develop this a little bit. Let's talk about Jesus. Jesus was different from the rest of us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, he was in the beginning with God, all things were made through him, and nothing was made that was made without him. So back in eternity, when God said, let there be light, Jesus made the light. The Word that became flesh, he was there. He is, was, and will be. He's eternal. He died because he was in a human body, but his soul went to Hades, came back out of Hades, went back up to the right hand of the throne of God, exalted, and that's where he is. That's all death is. And when Jesus died, the epitome of precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, and God gathering his treasured possession. We see it so clearly with the soul of Jesus. But Jesus said, so also the thief, because the thief was forgiven, and he too went to Hades. He too went to paradise. But you see the difference. With Jesus, it all gets verified. He dies, 3 days later, he comes back. 40 days later, he ascends to the right hand of God. He is living, exalted at the right hand of God. And those people who died are living and exalted in the paradise of God. So Jesus is the perfect explanation of death. Perfect. He died. He said, I'm going to be in paradise today. He was resurrected. He told the people, I'm going back to the right hand of the throne of God. And that's where he is today. And so when he tells me, when you die, you won't see death. When he tells me, you will never die. When he tells me that you will be in paradise, that changes everything. If you have faith, if you trust in the Lord. If you believe that God, remember what Paul said? If you believe God raised Jesus from the dead, then you'll have to believe that he's going to bring with him at the resurrection of all the saints. They're the people he died for. They're the reason he came here. They're the reason he went to paradise and came back and went back to the right hand of the throne of God. Everything God said about death is verified with Jesus dying on the cross. And so that gives us a very different perspective. Jesus changed death from something, you know, I should have put this in here, but there's a passage in Hebrews where it says that he delivered from bondage those who, through the fear of death, lived their entire life of dread. He said, that's gone. By Jesus Christ appearing, he changed that. We don't see death the way everyone else sees death. We see death as life is immortality. That's what he brought to life. Death changed its character. That's why Paul could say, we don't look at the things that are seen. We look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are not seen are eternal. And so after seeing what happened to Jesus, what's left of death? He died, went to paradise, he came back, he's now at the right hand of God. Paul says that's exactly what's going to happen to you. So what does that mean about death? He that lives and believes in me will never die. And he told Martha, you will never see death. Life and immortality. Jesus brought it. It was always here, but he brought it from the shadows into the light. And now it's up to us. We believe that or not. We take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week because we believe in the resurrection. We believe death had no power over him. Remember our song, Low in the Grave He Lay, Jesus our Savior. But death's power he overcame, and he came back from the grave. That's proof. That's all the proof I need that that's exactly what's going to happen to me, except a little differently. I'm going to die and go to paradise. I may be there 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years. We don't know how long the world's going to go on. And then the Lord's going to come back. And like Paul said, we who are alive will in no have no precedence whatsoever over those who have already died. Because the Lord's going to bring those who are dead with him. So death, if we look at the unseen, and I'm going to go ahead and stop here because we're going to continue this next week. But what did Paul do with all this information? Well, Paul had a little different situation. He went to paradise. He got to see everything that we're going to see after death. He got to see it. But he said, I can't tell you. It's not lawful for me to talk about it. However, to the Philippians, he said, I see death as gain. I see death as very, very far better. Well, that's enough testimony for me. I don't really need too much more than that. So, what does this do to the dying? These all died in faith, waiting for a city whose builder and maker is God. Comfort. And to those who are left behind, take comfort. And so, as we look at death, death is probably one of the greatest tests of our real faith in the Lord. And so the next time we sing, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through," take a good look at that and ask yourself whether or not that's how we really see it, or are we just singing words? The song of encouragement this morning is number 263. And I'd just like to remind us of one thing I said in the sermon. We have to die as a saint. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. The saint is the person who has been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, washed and cleansed, sanctified and set apart. How do we maintain that? Confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you, and repent with godly sorrow, bringing fruits of repentance. So you're a saint or not a saint this morning based on your current relationship with God. Remember what Ezekiel said? On the day that you sin, none of your righteousness will be remembered. On the day you repent, none of your sins will be remembered. We live in the present moment. So the question I would like to pose to all of us before we sing this song, are you a saint? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you a righteous and godly individual? And are you an individual who can die as a saint? If the answer to any of those things is no or I don't know, then you need to come up here and either be baptized into Christ or confess your sins and remove them so that you can know you're going to die the death of a saint. If we can help you in any way, would you please let us know while we together stand and sing.